I want to read from Nehemiah chapter 2. The context, and those of us who go to the Burnley Church will be increasingly familiar with Nehemiah as I've been preaching through chapter 1 these past 3 weeks. But in chapter 2, Nehemiah is sent by the king to Judah with the purpose of rebuilding the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. I'll cut in at verse 6 of chapter 2. And the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. The brief person I wish to briefly consider this evening is found in verse 8. He's not somebody I've ever particularly noticed before. Asaph. In fact, you may have thought I've heard of Asaph before. If you're familiar with Psalm 50, you will think he is a psalmist. In 2 Kings chapter 18, he's a high-ranking official. Elsewhere, in I think the book of Chronicles, he's the father of a troop of Levitical singers or a choir who help lead worship in the temple. Of course, what we have there is a number of men called Asaph. Indeed, the Asaph who fathered a family of choristers is mentioned elsewhere in the book of Nehemiah. I suspect the Asaph of Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 8, this will be the only time he's referred to. So I don't think he's the high-ranking Jewish official. We know he's living in the Persian Empire. I think he is Jewish. It's a Jewish name. I don't think he requires a good singing voice to be a keeper of the forest, but who knows? As far as I can tell, he didn't have a whole load of sons who were engaged in the temple. Not judging by the state it's in anyway, that's part of Nehemiah's problem. The name Asaph means a gatherer, one who gathers up, one who brings together. And it's interesting here that Nehemiah wants him to do the opposite. So I suspect that like Nehemiah, he's a Jewish man working for the king of Persia, entrusted with a fairly important and prominent position. In fact, I think the Jews did rather well in the Persian Empire, not just people like Esther or Nehemiah, probably a whole host of people like Asaph who are barely recorded. Although we know that many of the Jewish folk at the time of the exile were apostates, many of them had remained faithful. And those who were faithful to the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob obeyed his law. And the law taught them not to lie. It taught them not to steal. It taught them to be honourable to their families and so on. You imagine somebody who always tells the truth, who never steals even when he can get away with it. Would you not want to employ such a one? Would you not entrust such a one to an important position, such as Nehemiah, making sure that the king's wine is always available and never poisoned, and Asaph making sure that he looks after the king's forestry? I suspect Asaph is a high-ranking Jewish man working for the king of Persia, much like Nehemiah, and it's his job to make sure that that forest is well looked after, that people don't break into it in the middle of the night and help themselves to the king's finest timber. But here, contrary to his name, the one who gathers in, Nehemiah, and God through Nehemiah, is calling him to give. Nehemiah wants that timber. The king is so wealthy and powerful, I suspect he doesn't know how much timber he's got anyway, but he gives that job to Asaph to do the accounting. So the first thing we know about him is that contrary to his name, which might represent his nature, he is to give. The scriptures say that the Lord loves a generous giver. It's helpful for a man or woman of God to be careful with money and to be careful with time and to be careful with the resources they have. Not to squander it, not to be profligate, but we are called to be generous. And Asaph here, and I think this is the only time that this person is ever mentioned in scripture, the context is instead of gathering up, keeping and hoarding, he is to give. He is to supply. He is to be known for his generosity. So that's the first thing. He teaches us generosity. In one respect, of course, it isn't his wood to hoard. It's not his wood to keep hold of. But then also the money in our pocket, the time in our diary, the breath we have remaining. When you become a Christian, you give yourself to him, and everything you have is his. To many, that sounds like a bad deal. But when you calculate that also everything he has will one day belong to you, I think we get a rather good bargain here. But what of his job? Keeper of the king's forest. I rather like that role. When I first read it, I thought of a man living in a log cabin, little fairy lights and minding his own business. In fact, I suspect he was a busy man. He was measuring wood and weighing timber and counting trees and making sure people weren't pinching things. I think he was a high-ranking and also a very busy official. And yet the expression keeper of the forest, could also be translated orchard. Now, I understand why they've used the word forest rather than orchard, because it's not the king's fruit that that Nehemiah is wanting for the temple. It's the king's wood. It's a forest. But interestingly, forest, orchard, there's also the connotation of a garden. Harp pardes. It's a word linked to a Persian word with which you might be more familiar. Paradise. He's not quite keeper of the king's paradise, but in one respect, he could be in charge of the king's pleasure garden. He's in charge of the king's forest. I don't want to read too much into this, but what is Nehemiah's job? Nehemiah's job is to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And not just Jerusalem or the walls of Jerusalem, for which it's famous, but also the citadel, which pertains to the temple. It wasn't just defensive structures, but also that which was sacred. And here, Nehemiah is rebuilding Jerusalem, that place on earth where the God of heaven once chose to dwell, much like Eden had been before it. And he argues and he requires via the king that Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, the keeper of the king's paradise, produce the wood for that purpose to be achieved. I believe that when Adam was on the earth, he wasn't just to loll around in the garden, but he was required to do things. Work, employment, activity is what God called us and designed us to do. We weren't just to loaf around. And Adam was to tend the garden. I think he was to extend the garden so that perhaps it would cover the whole earth. Some theologians describe Eden as being the first temple on earth, a special sacred place on earth where God chose to come down and dwell, of which Solomon's temple and Moses' tabernacle were pictures and reminders in their location in their own time. And in one respect, Nehemiah is rebuilding Eden, not a permanent Eden, but a picture of Eden. A place where man can meet with God. A holy, sacred place where God could dwell and meet with man. And Asaph, the keeper of the forest, was going to contribute towards the call of God and Nehemiah's life. I don't think any of us here are called to build temples. Church buildings and chapels, perhaps. But the day of the temple is over. We are his temple, a spiritual temple. But we are called still to fulfil Adam's mandate, to go out into the world and enlarge Eden, to go out into the world and spread that which is sacred, to cultivate, to develop, to grow, to beautify, to subject everything to the living God. Of course, we come up with opposition. But Nehemiah, and it is one of those books of the Bible where, although God is referred to, he's often in the background. He's often working behind the scenes. He is mentioned, unlike in the book of Esther. But truly, God has called Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and do something sacred, and Asaph is to produce the wood by which that will be fulfilled. My third point is, why does Nehemiah require Asaph's wood? Is there no wood in Judah? Well, I guess it all belongs to the king at this time. Cannot God simply grow a forest and speed it up, and Nehemiah can cut it down and use that timber? God uses that which is already available. There is forest in Persia. There is woodland. And Asaph, and it's not clear whether Asaph is a man of God here or not. I suspect Nehemiah clearly knows about him and possibly knows him. With that Jewish name, it might be they've worked together. On the other hand, the fact that he requires a letter requiring the wood might indicate that Asaph wouldn't otherwise comply. I don't know, and I don't want to read too much into that. But I would say that the wood that Asaph is managing, God has earmarked for his service. And Asaph is to be the one to release that wood to Nehemiah that he might use it in the reconstruction of the citadel, the house, the beams for the gates and the walls and gateways of Jerusalem. Although the name Asaph is mentioned three other times in Nehemiah, I think it's one of the other Asaphs, the ancestor of the Levitical singers. I don't think it's this one. I think this is the only time this particular Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, is referred to. But God recorded his name. We didn't have to know it. God wants us to know about this man, even though our knowledge of him is slight. God had earmarked his ministry, his work, his service to the king as the means by which his own more sacred, longer-lasting purpose will be fulfilled. Did Asaph cooperate? Well, with the help of a letter from the king of Persia demanding that he does, I'm pretty sure he didn't refuse. But through the king of Persia, through Nehemiah, Asaph is actually being commanded by the Lord. I don't think this Asaph joins Nehemiah on his mission and, like his namesake, does a whole load of singing. I don't think he goes along and helps to carry the wood. I don't think he gets the tape measure out and starts measuring things up. But he helped Nehemiah's mission in the way that he did by complying, by cooperating, by providing and not obstructing. The Lord uses limited people. What would have happened if Asaph went to the king of Persia and said, I too feel sad and would like to go back to Judah? I'm pretty sure the king would have said, I can't lose two of you, get back to the forest. His call is in Persia. Arguably, Nehemiah's call is in Persia as well, because he's going to go back there. But he did what little he could with the resources he had, so Nehemiah could use them. Sometimes missionaries come to us, don't they? And they tell us about some situation around the world, and they give us a whole load of names we can't remember, and show us slides of faces we're going to forget. But we can pray for them. We can support them financially. We can read their newsletters, which always come out. But God uses that. Whether Asaph was a true believer or a truly willing colleague of Nehemiah or not, we cannot be absolutely certain. But what we do know is that God did use him, and God used that wood. I suspect Asaph was in that position for such a time as this. And wherever we find ourselves, God has put us there that we might be used, that we might be useful, that we might give whatever we have or give what little we've got for the greater purpose of rebuilding Jerusalem, for the greater purpose of re-sanctifying that ground, for the greater purpose of rebuilding Eden until such time as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns to complete the job. May we learn, therefore, from Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest. Amen.